The Transfiguration. Luke 9:28-36. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up to the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent in those days, told no one any of the things they had seen.
This is the traditional reading for the last Sunday before Lent. Next Sunday begins, is the first Sunday of Lent. And here, this is a description of the supernatural events that occurred. And it is it has an important place in the gospel story because it's a manifestation here of a description of the manifestation of the spiritual power of Jesus. And after this event, he turned toward Jerusalem. And that's a dramatic moment in the gospel story because that was the decisive moment. Turning towards Jerusalem would bring everything about. The whole saga would unfold. And we wonder if he ever had the thought of never doing it, if he had the choice of not going to Jerusalem, to his fate. But this is a moment in which his favor and blessings and his divinity are shown in this story. From a cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." And that's reminiscent to what happened in the account in Luke of Jesus' baptism. The Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." So there's a parallel here. There's a spiritual manifestation in the baptism, the Holy a spiritual event occurred, which they likened to the Holy Spirit looking like a dove descending like a dove. And here in this account, there's a manifestation of a spiritual energy emanating from Jesus out. A bright light. Well, Jesus prayed and glowed. I want to say a bit about the prayer, and then I want to say a bit about these supernatural, well, seemingly supernatural manifestations. We want to recognize different kinds of prayer, and that's part of the reason why I made the pastoral prayer today based on Jewish liturgical prayers. Those are the prayers that we use in worship. They have a structure to them. They're prayers of praise and intercession, petition. And for purposes that I want to do today, I'll call them, they are prayers from here to there. They're our prayers to there that we raise. There's another kind of prayer, personal prayer, which can be practiced by you and me at any time. And this is what I have been calling right along receptive prayer. This is when you open yourself to the Lord, to God, and you sit in faith, in the faith, sit with God. This is the prayer that brings insight and direction. It brings spiritual strength. This is the prayer that I regularly use when I'm preparing for a sermon. You know, if you've heard me say often, I sit and I ask God, what should I say? And then I sit and I try to be open to ideas that come or directions. I do that in my personal life. I do that at Baker College. The last thing I do before I open the door and go into the classroom is breathe a silent prayer for direction. Now, those are prayers that I will call from there to here. Those are the prayers that we are open to something. We ask. We're not asking for specifics. You know, help me with this with my flat tire on my car and so. This is for direction, for strength, for insight, for how shall I serve you? What shall I do today? So those are prayers that come from there to here. And I rather think that those are the kinds of prayers that we're talking about with Jesus and his disciples went up to the mountain to pray. Now, they may have warmed up with some liturgical prayers, which is what I do in my own prayer life. I used structured prayers to get into the mood, to get into the space, and then to get to receptive prayer. But there's yet another one. And that's a spontaneous prayer, which seems to sneak up on you. It's marked by joy, marked by excitement. It's full of energy. This is what we call praying in the Spirit. And maybe it has happened to you. Well, suddenly you find yourself full of a worshipful feeling, full of adulation, full of a feeling of connectedness, not only with the divine, but with the world, with the people. And you wonder where it comes from. It may come suddenly. I have noticed, and I have read many accounts of and have collected stories of, this is the kind of prayer in which we glow. I have a specific story. Years ago, when I was still early in my ministry and I was living in Wisconsin, another minister in our Ministers Association told me this story. He was one in which to whom these kinds of prayers would occur. And it was one day he was in his study and he suddenly was moved with great appreciation for all the people who built and made things. He had just looked around at all a clock on the mantle. Somebody had made the tablecloth, somebody made the table. And he said, it just welled up in me, this great gratitude, this appreciation for the hands that made these things, the people that know how to make these things. He went around and he touched everything. He blessed everything. He blessed the hands that made them. He said, I couldn't stop myself. I just felt wonderful. When he came out of his study to lead a class, I guess it was something in the church, people looked at him and said, what happened to you? He was glowing. Now you have glowed too at times. You know what that means, and you know what that feels like from within, a warmth that seems to glow, to come out when we're really happy. Another thing that I've noticed about that I take of considerable importance with regard to the reality of heaven, is that when we are in those moments, they are moments of pure love and joy, they are timeless. And if you've experienced this between with yourself and another person, you realize the time has gone by and you haven't noticed. They are truly timeless moments. So this is how I envision heaven. Since in heaven has no outside of our notions of time and place, that's how I envision eternity. Not, oh, God, will this ever end? You know, geez. But eternity, in a sense, there's no sense of time. And if there's no sense of time, there's no sense of passage of time. You are in the eternal now, the eternal moment. All of the saints are indicated as being saints with a halo. That's an artistic vestige of the fact that people actually have seen them glow. It's an overall glow, and we just put the artists do this little around them to indicate their holiness. You're holy too. You can be holy too. You can glow. Now, this is not restricted to Christianity. This is across the board. There are manifestations of this spiritual energy which appear as a light, as an emanation of light in all faiths, in all major religions, all peoples, all groups. We must really, through these stories, to appreciate them, take it as a real thing, the spiritual energy. Right next door, in Burkana, there are people who practice this reality of spiritual energy in a healing way, for the purpose of healing. When you are around a person who is in this spiritual energy, you feel good, you feel safe, you feel nurtured. There are people whose internal faith and his internal connectedness with God gives them this kind of balance, centeredness, and from them comes this emanation. And we call them, the Bible calls them, children of light. The Bible also mentions children of darkness. And I wonder if you have had the experience, I have had, of being in the presence of a person, it's happened more than once, of a person who is spiritually like a black hole in space. And when you are next to them, you know that something bad, something lurks there, something unwholesome. It's not coming out from them, it's going into them, it's disappearing. They are children of darkness. They are the presence of evil. What to do about them, aside from avoid them, I don't know, but I think that's part of our commission as children of light, as people of God, to try to heal that, try to break its power. I have my own spiritual experiences because I have invited them, but I would tell you the very first one that I'm aware of, which I did not invite, which appeared on its own. It's a good one, and it has given me a lot of food for thought about the afterlife. This was when I was about 13, maybe around in there. And all I was doing as a boy was running up from the ground floor to my bedroom on the second floor to get my baseball mitt. I was going to go out and play ball. I was, of course, active in my church. I was active in the youth group. I went to church worship services often. I had gone through confirmation class. So I was at least religiously aware, but that was the last thing on my mind. At that point, I wanted to go play baseball. And I was running up the stairs, and about halfway up the stairs, it's as though a curtain opened, as though this space opened, and I had a glimpse into another world. Now, there was not a lot of detail in that world. The point is, what I saw was good. I experienced it as good, as welcoming. And it had a color, it had a peach color, warm peach color. Now, this was a spiritual experience of the kind that I'm talking about that comes spontaneously to people. It's like when the fabric between this world and the next world parts a little bit and you get a chance to glimpse into the next world. So my glimpse was very encouraging, very warm, very pleasant. So I figure from then, you know, when I'm finished with this world and I go to the next world, I don't have anything to be afraid about. It's nice there. So what has that done for me? What it has done for me is that I really no longer fear death. I'm not afraid. I'm afraid of certain ways of dying, like anybody would be, but I'm not afraid of death itself, because it will be a transition from this world to the next, and the next has been shown to me as being something good. So, I mention this not only because of what pertains to what I want to talk about today, but also I've learned that these kinds of spiritual experiences happen quite often, to be more often than we let on, especially with our kind of religious life. They're a little reluctant to speak about that, and they happen among teenagers more often than among adults. So if you hear teenagers, or if you're around teenagers and you hear them speak of these things, take it seriously. They're probably not imagining it, probably not making it up to get attention. It's probably something that actually happened and they may be asking you to help make sense of it. So here's this leads me now from prayer and glowing and emanations of energy and evidences of the next world and the divine presence, life in heaven. Now I'm aware that today is Valentine's Day. So we think of our loved ones, and here I am talking about life in heaven. So now I'm going to sneak in this question. Will we meet our loved ones there? Will we? Sure. It wouldn't be heaven for you otherwise, would it? Of course you'll meet your loved ones there. It would have to be in order to be heaven for you. For me, it will have to be at least three dogs, too. Now here's another question. Who would you not want to meet in heaven? Who would you rather not meet? Remember, we're talking eternity here. Who would you rather not meet in heaven? That might be a worthwhile thing for you to sit with and think about. It's easy, you know, who are our loved ones and who are those people? Maybe we have some, maybe we'd just rather not meet them. So what is it going to be like? You know, Jesus said in heaven there's no marriage. There's people don't marry or given in marriage, that they're like angels in heaven. That was a response to a trick question that one of the Sadducees proposed to him. Here's a woman who's married seven brothers in succession. They've all died. Now when she dies, and in the next life, whose brother will she be the wife to? And Jesus said, come on. There's no marriage like that in heaven. You'll be like angels. So I take this to mean that human relationships as we understand them on earth will end. And a new kind of being, a new kind of relationship, similar to, like the angels. We won't become angels. Human beings don't become angels in heaven. But we exist in our spiritual bodies, different from angels, but good. Different. We shall be changed, says Paul. We shall all be changed. We sing it in the sing-along of the Messiah. But good. So the adventures of discovery that Julie and I have together here in this life will continue in heaven. We won't become angels, none of us will, but we will become our spiritual bodies in a new form of existence, thus fulfilling the potential and the destiny of God's plan for us as people of God, as children of light. Jesus was a spirit person, was the intermediary between these two worlds. He revealed to us the nature of God and of heaven, but he revealed also to us the fullness of life in the spirit, which is what we call true life, what it means to be fully human. And that's why from the very first, the people who talked about Jesus, who remembered him, who tried to express what this was all about, put it in the Gospels from the right from the start, the teaching has been that Jesus as the Christ is both fully human and fully divine. Jesus is an opening between here and there through which we can see. A breakthrough. Now for Wednesday evening Bible study groups, here's a question. Contemporary theological question. Jesus is indeed a breakthrough, but did he break through from there to here, or did he break through from here to there? In any case, this is what's the important thing. The story today says to us, listen. This is the important thing. Listen to the voice from heaven that said, this is the one who knows. Listen to him. Amen.